Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? Super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to Pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com. SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I think after last night, there's no further debate on who the NFL MVP is. Is there anything that could happen in the last 2 weeks of the season that would make you think Lamar Jackson is not the NFL MVP?
To me, the only other guy you can make the case for is, at this stage, is still Russell Wilson, but
I think that Rams game probably sealed his fate.
That didn't help, and the fact that Jackson beat him head-to-head, he always had the lead. So, yeah, I think it's done.
You have your notebook. Write this down. Cowboys fans are going to be pissed off at whoever the coach is. Like, they're going to be pissed off at the decision to hire that guy because it's not going to be some... It's not going to be Dabo Swinney or Lincoln Riley, which is what they're all hoping for.
Or even Urban Meyer.
Yeah, it's going to be some coordinator that the Cowboys fans are going to be like, what, this is the guy? They're going to be pissed off about it.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Also, get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Power, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show just for a few more months. You know the number for that. If you want to watch us on Twitch, well, you can do that. Put your comments in the chat room. If you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. All available or will be shortly on podcastarena.com. And so it's been a good couple of hours here on a Friday. As we roll into the weekend.
You think Oklahoma's going to show 14 again at any point? Should I just give up on that?
No, I don't think so. Man. Why? Right. You thinking?
I mean, I would have taken Oklahoma at 14. I don't really want to at 13.5. It's just...
Yeah, I'm
just curious if you thought it'd pop back up that way.
I don't think so. I think it's kind of settled into where it's going to be.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So... Somebody sent us a breakdown of where you can watch The Irishman is in four different spots.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think that's the way I'm going to have to go because I don't have 3.5 hours to just sit down and watch. I mean, I really don't.
See,
I say that, but then I'll sit down and watch a 3.5 hour football game all the time.
Yeah, or you'll watch five episodes in a row of something that's an hour long.
I don't really have time to do that this time of year. In the summertime, I'll certainly do that, but. This time of year, I don't.
I didn't find it too long, and I enjoyed it. But it's one of those shows that it's very polarizing. There's some people that just absolutely hated it. And, you know, my wife didn't like it. She thought it was too long and didn't find the acting as compelling as I did. But, you know, it's different for everybody, I guess. But I liked it a lot. I thought it was terrific. I think it's going to win a bunch of awards. Not that that always means a movie's terrific. But, you know. All right. Well, 713-780-ESPN. You know what we haven't even really mentioned is your beloved Texans and the Titans. I mean, we went through one of the games.
Yeah.
But what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, kind of like what I was saying when we went through as the game, I think it's going to be a super high-scoring game. I think both these teams are bad in the secondary. I think they both have explosive pass offenses. I expect them both to be chucking the ball around the field. I'd like to know the health status of Will Fuller. If I knew he was playing, I'd probably feel better about the Texans. If I knew he wasn't playing, I'd probably feel better about the Titans. I don't have a. I think the number's about right. I feel like it's, you know, this is a game that the Titans should win by about a field goal, and then when the Titans come here, I feel like the Titans or the Texans should win by about a field goal. I feel like these teams are basically kind of the same quality level team.
Yeah, boy, it's hard for me to look at this and give the Texans much of a chance, to be honest. Now, I know there's some injuries in the secondary for the Titans, so they should be able to throw the football and score some points that way.
Well, this would certainly fall into, if you like the Texans here, it certainly falls into the buy low, sell high
right
thing. I mean, which is something I always look at.
And they've been good at this in the past, bouncing back from just horrible efforts.
So. Which, now that I think of it, is also something that you're doing with the Cowboys, buying low and selling high. I guess you're doing the opposite.
I'm doing the opposite. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like it's hard to bet on the Texans after what we just saw, and especially when you start to really think about what the Patriots are. Like, if the Patriots was this really great win, you'd feel like, okay, maybe they just had an anomaly game. But if you don't think the Patriots is like this incredible win, then maybe you're probably sour on the Texans.
I think for them it was, you know, I mean, considering they never beat the
right
team. I mean, but I don't know.
But I mean, in the grand scheme of the NFL this year, is beating the Patriots at home a massive win?
I guess the only thing better in the AFC would be beating the Ravens.
Yeah.
At home or on the road, which nobody seems to be able to do lately. So, I mean, it's a good win.
Yeah.
But it's more the way they just didn't show up at all. And I mean obviously one of the things that you try to avoid is recency bias. And you look at that last Texans game and it's like, how the hell can they do anything?
Right.
And now with a team like the Jaguars, that's been going on for a month. So you could feel pretty safe that they're going to give up a whole bunch of points.
Right.
So I don't really know, and I've said this all along, I haven't had a great feel for this Texans team. This is a spot where I think they'll get housed. And pretty much I have been completely wrong all year long, including last week when I thought they would win easily. So I think they're going to get housed. So if you're a Texans fan, you should probably feel good about that.
Yeah, I heard Dell use this word this morning, and it's pretty accurate. The Texans are a confounding team.
Yeah.
Like, just every time you start to think maybe you've got figured out what the Texans are, they go and do something that just spins your head around. And so they are the definition of high variance.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the kind of teams that I'm not looking to really get involved in betting on or against them.
Unless you can figure out, you know, the kind of games where the variance is going to come into play. I think the Browns, I have a really good feel for when they're going to show up. And I think they're that kind of team.
They're a bully team.
But yeah, they are. And the Cowboys were that early in the season. They're not even that now. But the one thing that continues to, since we're going to use the word confound me about the Texans.
I mean, it seems like a fitting word.
It is.
It's not a word that's normally in my vocabulary, no, I'll admit.
But it is fitting.
Yeah.
So the fact that if they're so reliant on Will Fuller, then I think we know what they are. They're not very good. They're not going to do anything. If Will Fuller is the difference between winning and losing games, because the guy's never there.
Yeah.
And you can't count on him. And even when he played a couple of weeks ago, he wasn't that great. And, I mean, he's had one game in 2 years, really. One quality game.
Yeah.
And where he went nuts against the Falcons. And everybody's, oh, you guys are wrong about Will Fuller. And then we never see him again.
Were we, though?
And since we're quoting other members of the station, it's like Palillo always likes to say, attendance is part of the grade.
That's a fair fair statement.
So I think if you're going to sit here and tell me that the Texans win or loss is contingent on Will Fuller playing,
you don't feel good about
it. No, because even if he shows up,
who knows if he'll finish?
How long is he going to last? You could limp off after a series.
No, you're right.
So that's, yeah. I mean. And I defensively, but they just, I don't think they're going to get much pressure against this Titans offensive line. And the key for them is going to be they're going to have to stop the run. And if Henry is not 100%, they may be able to do that. But if they can't stop the run, they're not winning this game. It's that simple.
Don't disagree with you.
But we'll see how it plays out. I'm, as always, curious. Because the one good thing about the Texans, I never have any idea which team is going to show up when I watch them each week. And that's cool, because that way I'm surprised one way or the other pretty much every week. It's just that I do know which one they are by the end of the first quarter.
I will say this. For our business, it's great having a team like this, because you don't get the, like, it gets kind of boring if the team is constantly, and we've had both of these, where the team's constantly awful. 2-14 seasons aren't easy to cover for us, because at some point you run out of things to say about why they're so crappy.
Yeah.
And while a 15-1, 14-2 type season is probably exciting, it probably gets a little stale too.
It kind of got, like, kind of did with the Astros.
It did.
Yeah.
So this team, in their current, they're in the middle of a battle for the division. They, like, right now, they might make the playoffs, might not make the playoffs. To me, the Texans are a really interesting thing right now. Doesn't mean that they're good or bad. They're just, they've got my attention.
All right. Well, the Rockets want to get your attention as well, because if you want to find a gift for someone who is a Rockets fan, a sports fan, you can give the gift of Houston Rockets basketball this holiday season. How about tickets, brand new gear, kids club memberships? There's lots of great gift options for that Rockets fan in your life. Holiday packs give you the opportunity to see the Rockets for 5 great games at a great price. And every holiday pack also comes with a gift card to the Rockets team shop. And if you swing by the Rockets team shop, you're going to see all that it has to offer these days. The latest jerseys, t-shirts, jackets, hats, kids and women's apparel, novelty items, and much, much more, all in the Rockets team shop. And of course, for the young fans, kids club memberships make the perfect stocking stuffer. Memberships come with 2 tickets to a game, lots of cool Rocket swag, and additional season-long perks. So if you want to get a great gift this season, Rockets have you covered. Give the gift of Houston Rockets basketball. What else do you need? Head over to Rockets.com for all of your holiday needs today.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. It's time for the legend himself, R.J. Bell, along with Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Pregame.com, where they do a fantastic job. You can follow them all on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, at Brad Powers 7, at Fezzik Sports. And always the best segment of the week. What's going on, RJ?
Oh, just had a show on Fox, and we're excited about talking to Houston. I love Houston.
How'd the show go today? What's the big buzz on the national scene today?
I am going to give a bonus pick today, in which I am fading a 13-0 perfect trend.
Ooh.
Yes. In fact, I can start with that if you want.
You know what? Let's start with it. Like, can I have a guess at what it is?
Well, I hope you know, but go ahead.
My guess is because you've been all season long, I've been hearing you about 1 o'clock starts for Kirk Cousins and how crappy he is any other time. Are you going against that now?
No, I'm giving a college special bonus.
All right. Well, let's hear it then.
All right. So, Brad, we're partners on this one, because you probably talked yesterday about the Army-Navy game, and you have an opinion on the side.
Yep, and I'm on the Army side, Army plus 10.5.
But this is probably the game, more than any other college football game, where there's a widely known trend, at least in the last couple years it's become widely known, which is in the over-under of this Army-Navy.
Yeah, so in the last 13 meetings between Army and Navy, the under has hit all 13 meetings by an average of 15 points per game.
15 points per game. Now, I'm a contrarian. I like bucking the headwinds. I like going on a picnic if it's raining. It's true. If I have a nice covered area to go to. Well, you know what? You cannot bet trends. And this is a true, I'm being sincere, guys, and I know you know this. You cannot bet trends if you don't know what the number should be. So the NBA zigzag in the playoffs is an example. It worked for a while. The market got wind of it. And what happened? The line ended up adjusting. So the factor was still there, but the market accounted for it. Well, how would you know that if you don't have power ratings? That's why Fez in the NFL, best power ratings in Vegas, I believe, Brad in college. But with totals, it's really something we're going to spend. And AJ, I don't know, or Fred, I don't know if you guys have deep knowledge on projecting totals, not opinions on them, but what should the number be based on the stats? But I'm going to do some work in the offseason on it because I think all of us could be better at that. What we did in this game, though, was just a simple analysis. What's the mean amount of scoring, the average scoring in college football? How much did these teams score? We didn't just do an average, but rather we went a distance, the differential from the mean, which sounds fancy, but how far off the average. And we figured out the total on this game, based on the stats, should have been
58.
And the total is
40.
Oof. All right, now, that's 18 points. Guys like Fez, who bet me on this, they just say, 13-0, sign me up. Guys like me, we get out the calculator and figure it out. And, Brad, you said an interesting number. All of these totals covered by an average of 15 points.
Yep.
This total is 18 points too low. Give me the over.
I like it.
Now, Fez, you bet 100 on this. You want to do another 100, or you did that just for show, 200 stations kind of thing?
I'll do another 100, and I really firmly believe that the option is a flawed offense. It doesn't work against a defense.
So how did they score 58 points? I mean, the average score this season for these two teams is 58.
Because it's like playing a gambit in chess that no one sees, and it's tremendously successful because to stop the option, you have to be dedicated throughout the year.
But that's the only, and plus you've got to be able to replicate it. I agree. But that's the reason it's gone under 13 straight years. But we have data telling us that effect is 15 points. And oh, by the way, Brad, this Navy team, based on your analysis, is not quite the same type of offense they were even a couple years
ago. No, Navy's throwing it a lot more. They're actually averaging well more than 100 yards passing per game. That's what they worked on.
So whatever that overlap, which means you're familiar, which means you can stop it, that's less of a factor. Not saying it's not a factor, not even a big factor. It could be, but it's less of a factor. Would you agree?
Yes, and that's my biggest concern about why I'm going to lose this bet. If you told
that, and the total is 40.
If you told me these teams were like they had been, only run the ball or only throw the ball three or four times in the game, I would say I would expect their point production to go down by more than 33%, but this increased passing could well be how you
beat me. With 13 years of data, you would say, that's not right. I think it should be more.
Well, that'd be illogical.
Well, I'd also exactly. Say, I mean, I think the reason why I worry for you, Fez, is, I mean, this is obviously the lowest a total's gone in like since they've been tracking the totals on this game. But it's 9.5 points lower than the average total over that 13-year under streak. So, I mean, at some point, they're going to put up a number that's so low that that people are going to be scared to bet under on it. I think this is the year. It's not for me.
And I'm actually, we're going to put a dime each on?
Yeah, we're going to put a dime each. We're going to shop. I think we're going to find a really good number.
Well, we got 39.5 of William Hill right now.
Yeah, it's funny, Fez. The squarest book in town is dealing the lowest number. When do you see people betting the under on a game?
Exactly. Exactly. And last thing, people might say the weather looks bad. Well, Brad, you got a theory on this one.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, is the wind and the rain going to affect two teams that run the football a lot? No. And I'll say this, the rain, when you got an option, you're constantly pitching.
Oops!
Yeah, slippery football, more turnovers, more short fields, more opportunities for scoring.
You know what's funny? I saw his eyes start rolling in the back of his head, which means he's thinking. You're worried right now.
You know, I'm actually not. So
press the green button.
No, I firmly believe that the option is indeed affected greatly by wind and rain because of that pitch. That's so it has to be precise.
You're just making our case. What if you knew there were going to be seven turnovers in this game? Would you like your pick?
Of course not. So
you just said that there's going to be environment that's going to lead to turnovers. Thus, you like the und or over.
It's also an environment that's going to lead to the tailback getting much less per carry.
Well, there's the green button, buddy.
I already pressed it. I'm comfortable where I'm at.
Oh, so wait a minute. You just said to millions of people in Houston, potentially, you said that you wanted more. And now you're backing off.
I am.
Wow. Wow.
This guy.
I mean, he can't, listen, give him, yeah. You finally got to the right side.
You so, AJ, brought up you, excellent points.
You, yeah. You agree with us, AJ?
I do agree with you. Yeah, I'm not looking. I don't know how much. I'm not like crazy about the over, but the unders, it's not a non-starter for me this season.
I agree.
Well, I do have great news for you, RJ.
All right, baby.
You don't pick last this week.
What?
Yeah,
last. That's impossible because I was up a half game on you and I pushed.
I didn't push. You pushed.
Okay, so that means we're tied.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, and I'm.
It's like in golf.
Oh, okay. I was giving you the honor because you've been complaining so much about picking last.
When I win it, listen. When I win this thing, I want to say I never didn't pick last. Like Trump in the middle of the stage. You remember that?
Okay.
Same thing, baby.
All right. Then.
Social proof.
Well, Fezzik, you get to go first, my man. What's your favorite play of the week?
Oh, man. He's killing you.
Killing me. So I like Atlanta plus 10.5 against San Francisco.
He doesn't even sound like he believes it right now.
That I'm in last?
No, that you even believe this pick.
Oh, I love it.
You're going like, he's going, I have Atlanta.
I mean,
you sound like Stephen Wright. You sound like Stephen Wright doing a pick.
I feel like I just got mushed because that's my favorite play of the week, and that, now Fezzik took it, and now I'm, ugh.
Oh, my gosh, dude. You better start winning some freaking games.
It is a huge flat spot for the 49ers. Look at who the 49ers played the last 3 weeks. Green Bay at Baltimore at New Orleans. Now they finally come back home. They've been away for 8 days. They've been in Florida practicing this past week for that Saints game. So they're back home, and I can make the case they may well be looking ahead to their showdowns against the Rams, and especially at Seattle week 17. And what do they have week 15? The Atlanta Falcons come to town. I certainly can see the 49ers looking past the Falcons. And the 49ers have key injuries. Their center's out. Richard Sherman, their cornerback's out. Cluster injuries on the D-line. So with San Francisco not 100% and potentially distracted in a sandwich spot, I'm on Atlanta plus the 10.5.
So really, all of that was saying that it's a sandwich spot.
And the injuries.
Say the injuries again?
Yeah, their center's out, Richburg.
And he got hurt in the last game?
He did.
How'd they do after he got hurt?
The game went back and forth the entire way, so
they
I don't know.
Well,
the Niners did lose three guys in their secondary, and I can tell you what happened as the game went on. The ball got thrown all over the field. That would be a concern for me, especially against Matt Ryan. And I always Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston, if I can get them as big underdogs, I like it because they're just going to chuck the ball around and hit the back door. That's just what they do. So I'm actually with Fez on this pick.
Except, really, you're not.
Well, I'm more nervous.
In the contest.
Not in the contest, no. Is this going to be a contest play for you guys?
It's a contest. Oh, you mean on... Oh, no, I'm saying in our Houston
Invitational. Oh, no. I mean, it's off the board for me now. It's off the board, but I am defending Steve's pick here.
And that's probably the first time all year that you've had a game go off the board like that. It's got to be discombobulating.
It is. Luckily, I've got a few more people picking ahead of me before I have to go.
I think Fezzik stole one from you earlier this year.
He may have. Brad, you're up, my man.
I'm going to stick with college. I'm going to take Army plus the 10.5. I got a system to start, and then I'll talk series history here. What's the system? If you take double-digit underdogs with low totals, so you're getting 10 or more points, and the total's 43 or less. If you look at the results, the underdogs hit 57% of the time with about a 300-game sample size in college football. On top of that, since Jeff Monken got hired at Army, we got 5 meetings between Army and Navy, and all 5 decided by 7 points or less. Why hasn't there been much variance? Jeff Monken and Ken Niumatalolo, he's the Navy head coach, very familiar with one another. They served on the same staff on multiple different spots, whether it was Hawaii and also Georgia Southern there with Paul Johnson in their careers. Familiarity, not going to be a high variance here. Army plus 10.5 for me.
Say that name again.
Ken Niumatalolo.
Can you guys do that?
Ken Niumatalolo? Fred?
Let me try real quick. Hold on. Here it goes.
Guy nice anti toko umpo.
That was close. That was actually very close.
Where was that pulled from?
There's a just a lady on YouTube pronouncing it. Yeah.
All right, I actually agree. I'm a bit, one of my firm beliefs in college football is do not bet on service academies as double digit favorites, and do not fade service academies as double digit dogs. Normally, it doesn't work. I don't know how much it counts when they're playing each other, but I do think it's hard to get these guys away from each other. So the 10.5 does seem like a good number. Freddie boy.
I got one that I love and RJ's going to hate. I can just tell you.
Oh, RJ, I predicted earlier in the show when we were going over games and Fred said this game, I predicted that Hip to Be Square would be played today.
Hit him with Huey, huh?
Yeah, okay. And here's the thing. Every time he's played that, I've been right.
That is true.
So,
and I do think this game, I've heard, I think it's heavy sharps on one side, heavy squares on another. And I can see an argument for both, which is why I want nothing to do with this game. But go ahead, Fred.
So that's him being very politically correct because he has to work with Fred every day.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's putting me on the non-pro side here. I prefer, you know, the also sharp, just sharp in a different way.
Yeah. The side of the people, we call it.
Yeah, yeah. But I love the Rams against the Cowboys and for a variety of reasons. And yeah, I know. I could have picked any game and he was going to do that.
No.
But pretty simple. I mean, I think the Rams, once they figured out you give the ball to Todd Gurley and it sets up everything you do, they've looked better because of that. I think they're the better football team. They've got a really good record in their last 18 against the spread. Cowboys, I think, are 0-5 against teams with winning records, ATS. And watching them play the last couple weeks, I don't know if this team... I don't know if they've already quit on him or what, but they are playing really poor football. I love the Rams here.
All right.
Just what's all next? Right.
That's it. That's all you got.
I want to hear.
We might be hearing about this game later.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll save it then. I'm torn here. I don't know. I'm thrown now with Fezzik taking my pick, but that's okay. I'm going to. I think I've got two games that are damn near the same, and. I don't know.
Why don't you share it with us, AJ, and we can talk you through?
It's either Seattle or it's Oakland, and both of them are just fades against teams that have quit. They're playing corpse teams. I think I'll go with Seattle. And part of what makes me like Seattle here, and I'm not crazy about Seattle as a team. I think they're overrated in general. But what Pete Carroll's
pick, you mean?
Yes, the team that I'm picking is overrated in general. But the fact that Pete Carroll said we've got to get back to running the football after they got beat by the Rams, I think is exactly what they need to do and is exactly what they'll be able to do against the Carolina Panthers, who are just giving up the run like nobody's business. They've kept one of their last five games within a touchdown, and I don't see them doing it here. I think that the fact that the Seahawks have been so good on the road this year makes me feel even better. So I'll do Seahawks -6.5.
If I was forced to play this game, I would agree with you. I think Seattle is probably the most overrated team. With Green Bay would be my 1 and 2, I think. But I do think Carolina has quit. I think Tepper and the new owner has made it so clear he's clearing house. And to me, I initially thought, well, Steve had a thought, which I think is pretty inconsequential, but his thought was, hey, they're all upset about their favorite coach left. So they're all going to play. They're going on strike. It's kind of like the blue flu or something. Eh. You want to try to make that case? Or?
No, you just basically summarized it.
Yeah. So, what I think it is three other things that are all related. One, the coaching staff knows they're gone, so they're getting the resume ready. They're calling everybody. And even if it's just a couple hours a week in the NFL, that matters, right? Even if it's 2 hours per coach, that's like 20 less hours of prep or whatever. Number two, every one of these NFL coaches, and you guys have seen it up close when you've had credentials, other times they've been revoked, is my understanding, but you've seen it up close in which each coach has their 7 to 10 guys that are the fringe guys, the special teams guys. They're all kind of equal across the league, but they got the guys they like. Parcells was famous for this. So those guys, Riverboat Ron's guys, are thinking, now what? They could be out of the league. And then finally, this is new. Today, or recently I heard, but today I heard it, that they're talking, Carolina, about this is going to be a long rebuild, which is code for we're going to trade Cam, and who knows who else we're going to trade, because we're not really that worried about winning this year or next year. We want to build something, which means the whole team potentially is disrupted. I don't think that's a good thing. So I don't like Seattle, but I certainly don't like Carolina.
Yeah. And I think there's a really good prop bet on this one. Seattle's running back, Chris Carson, his usage has been going down because Rashad Penny has been running the ball really well for Seattle. Well, Rashad Penny is out for the year now. So think about our handicap is that Carolina not going to have as much defensive effort, and Carolina's run defense is bad anyways. And if
last
Seattle,
in the NFL DVOA.
And if Seattle has the lead, as we're projecting, Chris Carson's going to get all the carries because Rashad Penny is not there. Carson over about 70 yards, I think, is a great prop bet.
I will say one last thing. I would say, and I'll ask you guys round the horn here if you want, when something is so obvious in the NFL especially, it seems to happen less than 50% of the time. It's like everything points to Carolina sitting down, and in a weird way, because we can see it, they can see it, and thus they're thinking, uh-oh, do I want to be under the microscope? Because everyone's talking about it's like missing school when you were a kid. If you were missing so much school that when you missed, they were pointing at you the next day and talking to you in the office, you weren't as inclined to miss. I don't think Carolina's under the radar after that first game. Doesn't mean I don't like your pick. It's just that is an X factor to me. And Steve, or let me ask you guys in Houston, wouldn't you agree that when it's so obvious, it often doesn't happen?
Well, RJ, I would have thought after they lost at home by more than a touchdown to the freaking Redskins that everybody would have been pointing and laughing. And if that was the case, the next week they went out and lost by 20 to the Falcons, who are also damn near a corpse. So I don't know that it affects these guys.
It's for different reasons, though. It feels like when you injected that new reason with the firing, maybe that just overwhelmed everything. But again, I would certainly lean your way.
And let me throw one thing at Steve's prop there, and I don't know that I would totally push a green button on it, but I do know that Seattle's had CJ Procise sitting around doing absolutely nothing for years, and he's like a third-round draft pick, and they know that this is probably the game that they would need the least out of Chris Carson. So I would imagine if they get up big that we see a lot of CJ Procise eating up carries so they can keep Chris Carson healthy, knowing that they're not going to have Rashad Penny anymore.
Yeah, but if they get up big, he probably is over at that point, right?
I don't know. This is the Panthers. Is it going to take a whole lot?
Well, we'll see. Let's hope.
I guess we will. All right, RJ. I've got a feeling I know where you're going based on what you said earlier, so I'm excited to hear your side of the handicap.
Well, first of all, I'm not locked into anything yet.
Okay.
So let's think about this. I certainly like Dallas. What line are we seeing right now?
1.5.
Okay. Brad, make sure that's a fair line, please.
It's on pregame.
Picking last again. In fact, every time. You know, screw it. I'm going with it. I'm fading Freddie. I respect Fred, but he's got some leaks in his game. And one of them is Fred has made such a career. And let's be candid, it's a hell of a career, this guy. He's writing books, screenplays. He's newspaper guy. He's managing things at stations. He's managing websites. He is the, you know, him and AJ leading sports talk in Houston. I mean, how did he do this? By being contrarian, by seeing all you dum-dums can go one way and I'll go the other. But you know what happens sometimes when you're contrarian? You're too contrarian. And you think I can buck anything, kind of like me in that pick with the over. I just want to do something everywhere. It's like a guy on a tightrope that's starting to do jumping jacks out there, right? He's a master of the tightrope, but jumping jacks might be a bit too much. I mean, Fred, let me just Socratically ask you a few questions here. Did you see the opening number?
Yeah, I did. And what it was like 3.5, I believe, the other way, and now it's moved all the way through.
Yeah, so 3, I think, was more common. But let's even just say 3. is, doesn't that feel right? So you believe the Rams are clearly the better team and it's not even close. Like the Rams should be over a touchdown at home over Dallas.
Yes.
Okay. And you do realize that all this talk about the Cowboys not playing well is not showing up in the statistics. Whereas if we use DVOA, for example, Dallas has a better DVOA than the Rams. If you use net yards per play, Dallas is significantly better than the Rams. By what stat could we find wins?
You could use those same stats between the Cowboys and the Bears, and it might tell you a similar story.
Exactly, but you do realize that when someone hits on, let's say, 16 against a deuce, they will win sometimes.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying
it doesn't prove
RJ, how many times have the Cowboys lost to teams that are statistically worse than them this year?
Well, you just said the million-dollar question. You know how many? Not that many. Right? Three or four? So in a baseball, this is the question no one can answer for me. The Astros, great team, right? Obviously. Did they have any 5, 6, 7, or 13-game stretches that they were 6-7 this year?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we just take a snapshot of that and say that's the truth of the Astros? Because you have 162 games to get the truth before the playoffs, potentially. You know what? You don't in the NFL. So you can't trust the wins and losses. You've got to trust the stats. And there's no, and someone might say, ah, and that's how they would sound. RJ, Garrett's dumb. He can't win close games. Well, we researched it. Jason Garrett, prior to this season, in his career, meaning during the span of him coaching, is the fifth best coach in the NFL in one score games. Belichick's one, Jason Garrett's five. Did he get stupid over the summer? I don't think so. So other than just a coach so bad that he's going to lose a bunch of close games, how in the long term don't the stats and the scoreboard start to merge, start to converge?
Well, I can't answer that question. I just know I've lost a lot of money on the Cowboys, and then I look at their schedule.
And that's the emotional side of it.
I get it.
You know what it's like, AJ? It's like Steve Wynn, but I should probably change who I use now, is casino owner XYZ sitting up going, hold on, alert. I just lost four or five hands on blackjack table 22. Shut it down.
But I'll also say,
how stupid would that be?
If I told you that a team, if I didn't even say the Dallas Cowboys, but I said a team's wins list was Giants, Redskins, Dolphins, Eagles, Lions, Giants.
And I'd say, what do the stats say is what I would say.
I guess. I mean, it says they're running up big stats against crappy teams, and anytime they play a team with a pulse, they die.
This is the one team... that over 13 games, we can't trust the stats. So if we can't trust the
stats,
that's what you're saying.
If you trusted the stats, you would have played them heavy against the Bears. If you trust the stats, you would have played them heavy against the Bills. At some point,
they were favored by three on the road against the Bears.
That's the point you're missing, AJ, is if this line were 2.5 or 3, Dallas favored, I'd say, I might lean Rams. I think this line could even reasonably be, you know, at 2.5, I'd still lean Dallas, but I wouldn't bet it. It's the fact that this line has moved 4.5 points since it opened. It's all about the numbers. I don't bet teams. I bet numbers.
And what happened is that on national...
Well, let's be clear now. You like the Rams coming into Wednesday. What?
I didn't like Dallas.
All right, go ahead.
Fair enough. But not just that we get two extreme games, but they both were on national TV. Thanksgiving on Thursday, we all saw Chicago beat Dallas. And then we all on Sunday Night Football saw how well the Rams played. And it's an overreaction to two nationally televised games.
And I've got to run, so I'm going to say one last thing. And quite frankly and sincerely in defense of Fred, if you believe the Rams are much better than their stats, And there's a way to be better than your stats, a trend line that has a reason. And I don't believe the Gurley one, because if you actually look at Gurley, the last four games, his yards per carry is less by a smidge than it's been earlier this year. So, yeah, he's getting more yards because he's getting more volume. He's not any more efficient. So I'm not a believer in Gurley. I am a believer in the Rams' defense. I think since they got Ramsey, they're better than their season stats. And thus, I can see if you believe Dallas is worse than their season stats, I think the Rams are reasonable. Obviously, some serious people bet it. I just don't believe that about Dallas because I haven't seen anything to indicate it.
All right. Great stuff, RJ. Great stuff, guys. And RJ, thanks, we got the care package. Thank you for that, as always. And we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, guys.
All right. Be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. World-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius of the Beatles. This one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December 16th. You're running out of time at the beautiful George Theater. Thanks to St. Luke's Music with Friends, Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30 and includes light bites both before and after Goodall's presentation. Tickets are on sale at sportsmap.com. Just use promo code ESPN right now to get 20% off your general admission tickets for Howard Goodall. And every time I see Jaguar, I just want to go Jaguar. All right, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff
we've said
this week. The brilliant thing about art is it makes people think stupid things. That's why I'm not a real big art guy. Like, I think art's cool, but I think when art isn't really art and people still are, like, when people see, like, a big white canvas with a red streak across it, yeah. Like, oh, I mean, that might be upside down for all I know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Well, that's because you don't appreciate great art.
Yeah, I don't appreciate it. I like it when you draw a picture that looks good.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa, now that's art. That look like, I'd rather you draw Spider-Man than just a big white tape a banana to the wall.
Caller number 5, the 713-780-3776. Wins a golf for two at Wildcat, Houston's premier golf facility with spectacular views and convenient location. Stay tuned for your chance to win all day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And to book your tee times and lessons now, head to wildcatgolfclub.com. Thank you for doing that when we have to have a read on...
I couldn't help it, friend. It came out.
Well, you know, it's nothing. It's just a sponsor. Oklahoma could beat LSU or lose by a TD, and y'all would still hate.
Yeah.
Well...
They lost to Kansas State. Hate.
Well...
Wait, hate rhymes with Kansas State.
Can I...
Why you want to hate? Lost to Kansas State. Man, I could write a whole little song there. A ditty.
You could. You could. How do you work almost lost to TCU in there?
I don't know. It might be
it's a little harder to rhyme that. By the way, if you're a fan of a
team. Why we 10-point dogs? Almost lost to the Frogs.
There you go. Oh, I'm loving this. If it's really outstanding service and it's enough that I'm going to remember it and say something on the survey, yeah, I'll remember their name. Try to. Or if they flirt with
me. Good guy you are.
Listen, well, sometimes they flirt with you. And then I'll remember the guy's name when that happens.
I did buy you that place in Koontz.
It's in Village Mills. Get it right. It's near Koontz.
I like to imagine you having a home in Koontz, like you live winters in Koontz and summers in Regina.
Well, I'll be near both places if that makes you feel better.
You're always dancing around it.
Yeah, but not quite in, you know?
Story of your life.
It's exactly.
Friend zoned.
Exactly. Permanently. I think it's time for us to change things up a little bit. Maybe we should be artists.
It's a good idea.
And we could come up with some stuff like this. And we could come up with a fake name, Fabrizio Hoffman. And then we do stuff like this. We come up with better than a banana taped to the wall.
I was thinking about, like, a dead pigeon and stapling it to the ceiling with its wings open, but its head drooping down.
Okay.
Like a pigeon Christ.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week. Oh, boy. No shortage of stupid stuff this week.
We were stupid.
And we didn't even get to the penis fish either.
No, nor did we get to my documentary on mixed weight couples. which
that will have to happen.
It has to happen. I'm so excited. There's a television show about this that I'm going to. I'm already know I'm in love with the show. So,
all right, we will get to it next week. I promise. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. Till Monday, stay sports, you bitches.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.